States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we'll hear from Gary Rockwell about changes to some dressage tests, and also Dolly Hannon explains the new freestyle test. We have one item of news this week. The USDF would like to congratulate all the winners of the 2014 GMO Awards, which will be presented during the Board of Governors General Assembly at the 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, which takes place in Cambridge, Massachusetts from December 3rd through the 6th. These awards are given annually to recognize outstanding achievement within the USDF's GMO community. The USDF also recognizes outstanding volunteers at the regional level, along with the recipient of the Ruth Arvanet Memorial Fund grant. And now Gary Rockwell explains the changes to some tests. Gary is the chair of the USDF Judges Committee, a member of the USDF L Program Committee, and a member of their faculty. He's also a member of the USDF Dressage Committee and chair of the Test Writing Subcommittee, as well as an FEI five-star judge. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So you have information for our members on these new USDF tests.
I have a lot of information. I'll try to relay some of it to you. When we began to redo the test, we had two goals in the very beginning. One was to make the tests more progressive than they were before, and one was to try to relocate some movements that they were more visible from the judge and clearer to score. For example, for difficulty, we thought that second level one, Cantor Serpentine was more difficult than the other second level tests. And fourth, one had counter canter through the corner and a flying change in front of the judge at C. We thought that was harder than the other fourth level tests. So we made an effort to make the test progressive. And then we had certain areas in the previous set of tests. For example, between C and M, medium walk. Sometimes horses only walked when they got to M. So we had to give it a full score without really having seen anything. So we did change that. We extended those walk movements so that we could really give a fair score to the walk. And there are not a lot of huge changes in the content of the test because clearly we have to have the same movements for the most part. But, for example, in first level, the two 10-meter circles that were concurrent on the central line at X, we took those circles apart and separated them. We thought that was a little hard for first level. And we began to use some shorter diagonals for lengthenings in first level. In first level three, we have full diagonals, but until then we have like M to V or K to P instead. That gave us an opportunity to shorten the test a little bit. So I think that's the primary change in first level. In second level, there are no real changes except for the fact that we move Ron Ver to third level. We feel that's not been ridden very well or trained very well during the current time period, so that's changed. I don't think there are many major changes in third level. In fourth level, we have two new movements, if I can try to explain, but one is, In the old pre-St. George test, we used to have half circle at E in true canter, followed by half circle to B in counter canter. And that was a nice movement that was taken out of the fourth level, taken out of the pre-St. George. We put that in fourth level. And then there's also, our introduction to working pirouettes now is a little hard to explain on the phone, but if you can visualize the diagonal from H to X, it would be on the diagonal between H and X collected canter, then approaching X, not a half pirouette, but a working pirouette toward the letter M, which means less than a half a pirouette with a clear destination and trying to influence the rider to control the steps a little bit. Then in fourth level three, we still have a working pirouette. Other than that, there's one general change. It's not really a change, but a lot of us do not like the word submission. At our first meeting, we Googled it, and one of the first definitions that popped up was yielding to a stronger power, which is not exactly what dressage training is about. So I had discussions with Stefan Peters about this, and he also dislikes the word in English. It seems to have a worse connotation in English than it does in German and French. The international French judge, Jean-Michel Roudier, said to me, in French, it translates as accepting the cooperation or willingness to accept the cooperation. So we made an attempt to change the word totally, but it was not possible because it was so many times in our rule book that for this set of tests we weren't able to change the word submission, but we did add immediately in the first directive afterwards the words willing cooperation, and I would like to think that by the next set of tests that we might be able to replace the word submission with willing cooperation. And other than that, that was our goal, that was our focus. I think the tests are very good. We went through 17 drafts, spent a lot of time on the directives, tried to make each appropriate to the level, and I think the riders will appreciate something. One other thing I can mention in second level, we took the turns on the haunches off of the rail. They used to be sometimes at C and sometimes approaching R, and then it was very difficult to get back into the corner to ride the rest of the test. So we put all of the turns on the haunches on the line between R and S, which rides, I think, much better. So those are the changes that I can think of that might be interesting for you.
And when do they come into effect, Gary?
They've gone to the printer for the second time. There were a lot of mistakes from the printer, unfortunately, but I think they'll be out next week in time for the finals in Lexington. Of course, we're using the old test there, but they'll be out and effective December 1st.
And those are all available, of course, on the USEF's website, usef.org.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much indeed, Gary.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Dolly Hannon joins us now to explain the new freestyle test. Dolly is the chair of the USDF Freestyle Committee, a USDF certified instructor through fourth level, and a USEF S judge.
The biggest change for 2015, we're in a new test cycle, and beginning December 1st, 2014, so that we can be ready for the shows as they start up, there'll be some significant changes to the USDF freestyle score sheets that both competitors, freestyle designers, and judges need to be aware of for the upcoming show season. One of the biggest changes is that to be in compliance with USEF rules, rule number specifically DR129.7B, you can no longer do movements and transitions that are only included at a higher level. There are a few exceptions to this rule, and they're listed under additionally allowed on the freestyle score sheets. In the past, you were able to do some movements and transitions that were found at a higher level, but this is no longer the case. To avoid confusion, only include movements that are included in the standard tests or in the compulsory elements at the level at which you're showing or below, and read the score sheets to see the exceptions to this change. I'm going to list the exceptions per level as we go along. There have been no changes to the artistic side of the score sheet. The boxes for the movements that could have multiple scores have been made larger, as have the comment boxes on the technical side of the score sheet. This should make it a little easier on the scribes. Right now, if someone does multiple circles, for example, they have to try to fit in a score for every circle in a little tiny box. It makes it quite challenging. So to make that a little bit easier and to hope that there'll be additional feedback to the competitors, we've made those boxes larger. Let's go down to what the additionally allowed or the exceptions for each level that now may be included in your freestyle. At training level, you may show a canter, trot, canter transition that must have a minimum of 20 meters of trot in between the canter transitions. You may show trot, halt, trot transitions, trot, walk, trot transitions. I know some of these seem obvious, but it's important to know what's included. You may ride a trot serpentine or single loop, and larger trot serpentines with loops no smaller than 15 meters. At first level, you may include a turn on the forehand, which is also in the rider's test, any configuration of leg yield, including counter changes of hand, which are two, or leg yield zigzag, which is three leg yields or more, trot circles of 10 meters or larger, a lengthened trot or canter on a 20-meter circle, and counter canter. You may also show canter serpentines and canter circles of 15 meters or larger. At second level, you may include rondere, which has now been removed from the USEF standard test, but still allowed. Now, that won't be noted on the score sheet because it had already gone to press, but you may include rondere. Half turn on the haunches, no more than 180-degree turn, trot circles 10 meters or larger, medium canter or trot on a 20-meter circle, medium canter on a diagonal. So these things are allowed in spite of the fact that you may not see them in a standard test. At third level, you may now, actually you could have anyway, but just to make sure it's clear, rondere may be included, which is now in the third level standard test, not in second level any longer. Half pass counter change of hand with only one change of direction, so that means two half passes back to back. Half walk pirouette, canter to halt transitions, and trot and canter circles of 10 meters or larger. Fourth level, half pass zigzag in both trot and canter, and a zigzag is three or more half passes back to back. Canter pirouettes. Right now at fourth level, we have a working canter half pirouette. You may show a standard canter pirouette. You just want to make sure you make it a good one. You always don't want to overface your horse if they're not quite ready for a more difficult movement. And three tempi changes in the canter. And trot and canter circles of 8 meters or larger. It is our hope that we can keep making these USDF freestyle tests more user-friendly and understandable both to judges and competitors and freestyle designers alike. This is an ongoing project for the Freestyle Committee, and for the next test cycle, we are now committed to a redo of the test sheet to make it easier for the judges and the scribes to manage. Right now, it's pretty difficult, so we were unable to have a total overhaul for this test cycle, but that is our intention for the next test cycle. As a personal aside, at the recent USDF Region 2 Championships in Lexington, Kentucky, there were over 30 first-level freestyles in one class that I judged, and it was a warm-up class. It was amazing. And all of the USDF freestyle classes at that regionals were large, and it was a very exciting show. We had many good-quality lower-level freestyles that were fun to judge. There definitely seems to be a growth in the classes, and I hope this trend continues because when it works and the music clearly enhances the horse, and the partnership between the horse and rider, it can truly be a beautiful thing to experience and also to judge. So the Freestyle Committee is excited about these trends and hopeful that it will continue to grow in the future. And I do have a couple of notes to competitors, and I want to just pass along the information that oftentimes in the desire to make a lower level freestyle more interesting, some competitors try to be creative in a way that's hard for the judge to follow. So you want to be sure that your judge at C, and if possible the judge at B or E, that you will see at a regional finals and at the national finals, can clearly follow your choreography and intention. It's also a good idea to keep your freestyle a little on the short side in terms of timing. There's a maximum time of 5 minutes, but there's no minimum time. And oftentimes I think competitors think that they have to do a full 5 minute freestyle for the lower levels, and especially for training level and first level, that is not the case. And when you repeat compulsory movements, for example, your circles, it's not necessary, but it also makes the judge and the scribe have to work really hard to make sure every movement is scored. And remember, we're required to give a comment for all scores of 6 and below, so trying to fit those comments on the score sheet makes it quite challenging. The choreography should be easy to follow. And remember, as long as it's not an exact pattern from a current test, it cannot be considered test-like. There are some levels where it's difficult not to have the choreography appear a little test-like because there's only so many ways you can include shoulder in and half pass, for example, at third level and get all the movements in. You want to include the required movements in a logical way and don't have so many changes of music and cuts in the music that it makes it hard for the judge to follow your intention easily. Sometimes I've noticed that in trying to be creative, the freestyle can get a little chopped up. It can get a little bit, I'm trying to think of the right word, choppy would be the best thing I would choose. So you want to feel as though it looks fluid and it's very clear what you're doing. And we are including this year the recommendation or the requirement that, for example, a shoulder in be shown for at least 12 meters and preferably 18 meters. Because oftentimes, let's say at second level, the competitor struggles to develop, well, struggles. The competitor might struggle developing the shoulder in. You want to be sure that any movement is clear for the judge to see. So also think about that in terms of where you place your movements. A shoulder in, for example, away from the judge is a little harder to see the angle than towards the judge, and vice versa for your rendezvous or travers. So keep this in mind in terms of what the judge sees. And if you put together a pattern that's easy to follow with music that fits the horse's gaits and or suggests the gaits, you should be rewarded with a score that reflects your performance. So I wish everyone good luck with their 2015 freestyles, and the Freestyle Committee will continue to work on these and make them even more logical and both competitor and judge friendly.
And as I mentioned earlier, the USEF tests from training through fourth level are all available on the USEF website at usef.org. And the new USDF tests, the introductory, freestyle, and sport horse, are all available on the USDF website at usdf.org. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education. That's at usdf.org, where with just a month to go, you can still register for the Adequan USDF Annual Convention. That takes place, of course, in Cambridge, Massachusetts from December 3rd through the 6th. And don't forget that this podcast is available for download from the iTunes Store to your smartphone podcast apps. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.